Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency Credit Canada and by Home Equity Bank, provider of the CHIP reverse mortgage. We know teaching kids about financial literacy is important. We have talked about this topic again and again and again and again and again. And we're going to talk about it again today because there is a new take on this topic. It comes from an author named Paige Coronetit. She has got great experience here. She was taught financial wisdom from the day she was born, it sounds like. And she has gathered those money lessons into an excellent book called My Dad's Class. She joins us now to talk about it. Hello there.
Hello. Thank you for having me on your show.
So many great ideas. So inspiring. But as a parent, I had this little moment of, oh my God, I'm doing it all wrong. And I do this for a living. Like, I do so many things right, but your dad was like off the charts.
Yes.
He sat you down and taught a money class every week. We're going to talk about that specifically. But before we do, I need a picture of the man. What was he like? Was he playful? Was he intense?
Ooh, he was both. So my dad was very, we always laugh. I'm one out of four kids and my siblings always laugh. If dad wasn't a businessman, he would have made a great general.
So okay.
He was very strict and diligent, but there was always a lightheartedness to his lessons and his teachings. So they were always engaging and fun with him as well. They were mandatory, but they were always fun.
Your hallway was like a living accessories gallery. Remember those sayings that you'd have in the corporate world back in the 90s? You have out loud family sayings. Tell us what they are and give us an example.
Yes. So the family sayings are, I can do it, do what's right, do your best, treat other people how you want to be treated, nice. Like I said, like that was pounded into my head. Uh-huh. And my favorite one right now is I can do it. It has stuck with me my entire life of starting my own business, or if I'm scared to do anything, it's like taking a deep breath and you know what? I can do it. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing how that one phrase that my dad taught us has empowered me throughout my life.
Now, okay, but truth serum here. How old were you precisely the day you looked at that wall and said, this is ridiculous and I need to be a member of a different family? Because come on, I mean, yes, as a six-year-old, I could do it. But as a 14-year-old, please tell me you did not chant that out.
Correct. I was 12 when I was like, ugh, okay. Really?
Right. Good. I need some eyeliner and I've gone goth because I can do goth.
It's all those hormones that you're like, oh, here we go again, right?
Yeah. And you recommend, which I love, you recommend that people come up with these family sayings because they really do provide such a great grounding for your values as a family.
Absolutely. It was really nice, you know, being a part of my family and knowing where we stood, what our consequences were, you know, what the purpose of it, of being a member of the family was, and that expands to society as well.
You literally had classes on Saturday mornings with your dad. What time did they start? How long did they last? And were there snacks?
So we had to clean our room and zone first, of course. So we had to, our space was nice and neat. It was inspected. If it wasn't perfect, we needed to do it again. And then we had to bring our notebook and our pen to a specific table where we sat around and we did a 20-minute lesson. They were short and sweet with dad's class. And no, there were never snacks involved. They should have been though.
Totally. And you're a Montessori family. I was a Montessori kid. My kid went to Montessori. How did that inform the way your dad approached these financial lessons?
Oh, I mean, completely. I think that him observing a Montessori classroom before we went there was a game changer for our entire family. It was, you know, to the student, to the child, it needed to be, you know, the environment developed around us. The lessons were not long. There was always some sort of prop or something that we could touch or see or smell, you know, many sensories involved in it. And we would always do field trips or road trips after our lesson.
Do you remember one that stood out for you, like a particularly profound insight that you really only fully appreciated maybe months or years after?
Yes, I would say we were learning about stocks and dividends versus PE. We like high dividend and we like low PE, and we had to memorize our 10 stocks that we owned. And one of those was McDonald's.
Oh,
and
so my gosh, field trip. Please tell me there was a field trip.
We did a field trip, of course. And I remember getting French fries and an Oreo McFlurry. And my dad explaining, well, okay, you own this. You know, what's the stock? What's the dividend? What's the PE? And it was like a light bulb went off. Wait, I own this company? And he's like, not just this, you own the entire, you know, conglomerate franchise. You're a shareholder in this. And that was like, wait, do we get these French fries for free?
Hi, I'm an owner. I'm an owner. I want extra Oreo crumble on my McFlurry. Please and thank you.
Exactly.
Now, there's something in your book called a hard structure meeting. What is that?
Yeah. So that's what we call accountants, bankers, lawyers, financial advisors, because they're hard and they don't make us money, but they are like concrete and they save us from losing a lot of money. So hard structure lessons were that we went to the banker meeting with my dad, or we went to the accountant meeting with my dad, and we would get a copy of the numbers and get a copy of the charts and look at it. Now, when you're 12, 13, 14, you have no idea what you're looking at. But as we got older, it wasn't as intimidating, and we started asking questions and learning the lingo. Because as everyone knows, everyone has their own lingo of any industry. And it's like, wait, what's that? What's that stand for? What's that, you know, SEC, you know, anagram thing. So the more that we had exposure to it, the more that my siblings and I are able now, I'm 32, I can sit in a meeting, I can run the meeting because I know all the questions to ask and all the lingo.
Many families would do allowance. They would do allowance going into separate jars or envelopes for different things like saving, spending, investing, donating, all those sorts of things. Did your dad like have the bionic supercharged version of this? I mean, there is a chapter in your book called Establish a Family Economy.
Yes, I believe he did. He really wanted to, going back to the Montessori thing, make sure that we were the ones that were running our own money. So earning money was our allowance of how old we were. We learned about banking, you know, putting it in our bank and having our own ledger. We were always able to spend our own money, but guess what? We had to subtract it out of there. And that wasn't very fun when you had to subtract it, you know, and then there was always ways to earn more money, kind of odd and end jobs that he created, like washing the car was an extra $10. So he really supercharged it with the different experiences and the participation. I think that was the biggest thing, is we did stuff to get money or save money or spend money.
You are now a parent yourself and the rubber is hitting the road. What elements do you aspire to replicate, and what others will you let go of?
Ooh, that's a great question. I would say there's a lot in my book as I was writing it that I'm going to take with my own family, from family values to all the financial lessons that we're going to have. We're going to have mom's class instead of dad's class. And figuring out, well, maybe it's not Saturday, maybe it's Sunday, maybe it's Monday, you know, a lot of the different structure can be flexible. I probably will not have as much obedience as I was given. But that's just because I'm a different personality. So I think that will be the one that I will adjust that accordingly.
Yeah. And it's a different time too, right? Like, I'm one of five kids. If you didn't keep a certain hand on those monsters running around the house, you'd end up in the loony bin because they'll just drive you to drink. I only have one child. It is a very, very different context. Now, I got to ask, how is your partner engaged in all of this? Like, my partner thinks I'm a nutter. And it's just because in my family, I grew up with allowance and a ledger. He's like, oh my God, I never had any of that.
Yeah. That's a great question. My partner is hesitant, but right. I'm very gung-ho about it. So he's along for the ride. You know, I think he realizes, since he knows me and he knows my family, he's like, okay, you know, you did learn a lot of great stuff and this is important. But he's not as excited as I am to do it.
Yeah. So. I'm kind of in the same marriage myself. okay. So I, as someone who's super into this and I host this radio show and I just love all this stuff, I'm in it from A to Z, all 9 chapters, sign me up, thumbs up. If you had to distill this into the most relevant and critical action that you would take on growing a human with good financial habits, what would it be? What would be the one thing?
Create your own family bank.
Ooh, okay. Say more about that.
Chapter 5.
Yeah.
So that is all about having the child earn their own money, put it in a Tupperware box every Saturday so they're able to count their money, see their money. They're the ones that add and subtract, whether they're spending their own money or, you know, earning more and putting it into there. On top of that, my dad was amazing at adding interest 10% every quarter. Wish I could invest in that bank nowadays. Mm-hmm. And having something tangible for the child when they're young, starting, you know, from 5 years old, when they're 15 and they go to open up their own account at any bank, they already understand what a bank does and the concepts of money because of that. So that would be if you could do one thing out of the book, do your family bank.
Now, the 10% interest thing, did your dad do a lesson on Ponzi schemes? Because I think that sounds like he was running one. Or some like Madoff thing. No one gets 10% a quarter.
I don't believe we did. Not,
that no, will be in your second. My dad's class 2.0. What my dad did wrong, he taught me about Ponzi schemes. Paige, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Bruce. Really appreciate it.
Paige Cornetta is the author of My Dad's Class. Super actionable. There are 14,000 books on financial literacy for kids. This one, I promise you, is different.